Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 18 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. And today I have a special guest. I have Gallinacci. Now, Gallinacci is an artist that I took notice of when Clarissa Shields had shared some of his work on her Instagram. And what his project is, Gallinacci the Fighter, it's an NFT project where there's art of all different boxers in black and white, and you can purchase his art through the OpenSea.io marketplace. The NFTs are dealt through the blockchain with Ethereum. This is something that, you know, if anybody is a little bit confused about cryptocurrency or NFT non-fungible tokens, this should be a really interesting podcast discussing that. But we'll also be discussing his interest into boxing, because he has experience competing in boxing, and I really want to kind of understand his process as far as his art style, kind of his history. He originally started studying architecture, and now he's on a new journey, a new path, discovering his passion for boxing in his art form. And I really look forward to this. So without further ado, here's Gallinacci. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. And today I have a really special guest. I have Gallinacci, the artist. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Matthew, man. Thank you for having me here.
And I want to start off. So when I first saw your Instagram and kind of the things that you were working on, I was really impressed. I mean, not only do you have this really awesome NFT project that I want to talk about, but I was also looking at your Gallinacci Verse Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And I saw some of the daily drawings that you were doing. Like, you were really like dedicated to the craft of getting better. You know, you were doing some studies about just the form with boxing. I just want to ask you before we start, because I do know a little bit about the story about, you know, you started off, you were going to school to do architecture.
Yes.
Can you kind of talk about art and how it started in your life, and maybe the journey that you've gone through to get to where you are now?
Yeah, no, it's always, art itself has always kind of like been part of my life. Like, I think I remember I started drawing around, I think, maybe 5 years older, or maybe even earlier. Like, I have drawings that I've kept since then.
Oh, wow.
So it's been there forever. So it's like part of my kind of like identity in a way. And yeah, it's like my way of like communicating, because I was originally born in the Philippines. I was there until like I was 7, and then came over to the UK. So then I didn't really know English when I came to the UK. So I guess my way of kind of like communicating was through my art. So like during like the art lessons, like people around me would be like, oh, wow, this is amazing. But then I didn't really know how to speak to them. So then I let my art kind of do my talking for me. So yeah, I think that was kind of like one thing that was part of me that I kind of still have now. And obviously growing up in an Asian household and whatnot, like, you kind of think of the career you want to kind of like go through at when you're kind of like an adult. And obviously I still wanted to keep that art kind of like trait and kind of pursue a career that sort of still has that component to it. So I kind of chose like architecture, but it wasn't really a thing that I was like passionate about. Like, I was more curious in just drawing and like learning about whatever, but not actually like buildings or whatnot. But then again, I kind of like learned how to design. So that was like another aspect that I kind of like enjoyed, which kind of helped me kind of like have and kind of like design what I have currently right now. And I think during the pandemic, like, everyone had the time to kind of like think over and whatnot. So like, I graduated architecture. So I did like 3 years of my undergrad because it's a 7-year course to become an architect. So I did my first 3 years and then worked 1 year in the industry. And that's when when the pandemic started to start. So then we had to like work from home. And that's when I kind of like started the drawings, the kind of like daily drawings, trying to get back to that flow of drawing again. Cause obviously through like the university time, I didn't really get to draw as much as I did now. So, and I kind of like looked back and I'm like, do I really enjoy this whole kind of like architecture route? Like, I was like, no, I don't. Cause like, I didn't really care what I was doing. Like I was working on like things that were good for like the community, because it was like an architectural firm that built schools and designed schools and whatnot. But I sat there and I was like, do I really like enjoy what I do? But I don't. So then it just felt unauthentic for me to just stay and keep doing it just for the sake of getting paid and having a career path or whatever that's solid in a way. So I just decided, nah, I don't want to do that. So I quit. Oh, luckily it was just like a 1 year placement that we do. So it was going to terminate anyways, but I wanted to stay a little bit longer, but then the whole pandemic occurred. So then I was like, okay, that's a sign. I'm not going to continue. I'm going to do my thing. So then here I am. I'm just been doing my focusing on my art stuff. And then somewhat kind of like found through the art, doing art drawing daily, I kind of found out, okay, why I kind of want to go in my life in a way, in sort of like the career aspect of it. So, yeah.
There's a lot of things to unpack from that. The one thing I want to kind of ask is, what part of the Philippines were you from?
Yeah. So I grew up in Manila. So like the capital city of the Philippines. But to be fair, I barely remember much of my childhood then, because obviously I've been in the UK for like 20 years, almost 20 years or so. But yeah.
Yeah, because Philippines, very, very beautiful country. When people think about the Philippines and obviously they think about boxing, you think about Manny Pacquiao.
Yes, that's also part of my life too. Because obviously, being during that time, Manny Pacquiao was up on the rise.
Okay.
So yeah, he was always on TV, always on the TV. So at a young age, I was already exposed to boxing.
Oh wow!
And then it was like when I moved here, they were still watching Manny Pacquiao. So it was always on the TV, like every time he fights. So that's kind of where the whole kind of boxing aspect was introduced. A very young age.
Because he's kind of just like how Muhammad Ali transcends boxing, I mean Manny Pacquiao transcends boxing, especially for the people of the Philippines. I mean, he's wanting to possibly run for president. He's a politician. He sings. I mean, he's really showing people, you know, through hard work and dedication and mastery of a particular skill like boxing, how it can really elevate yourself and make yourself have a platform where, you know, you can do greater things. So, okay. And then another thing that I thought was interesting was when you were talking about when the pandemic had started, for a lot of people, they kind of responded to the pandemic differently. You know, some people, they felt it was a really dark time, and it seems with you, it kind of was a time that allowed you to realize what you really want to do and to work on things. So I just wanted to know, like at the beginning, was it hard, the pandemic, for you, or were you always keeping this focus on, you know, drawing every day and that sort of thing?
I think it was, because I think I started the whole drawing thing before the actual pandemic. So I was already in the flow of it. But then when it occurred, I just had more time. So I had just more time for me to actually do the drawing. Because usually before the pandemic, I gave myself like an hour before work to sketch out, and then I'll go to work. But then with the whole pandemic happening and you're working from home, you have just so much more hours to kind of like to practice my craft. And I kind of just took advantage of that and allowed those extra hours to be a time for me to kind of just, it's in a way, it's like a meditation, just doing like zoning in for I don't know how many hours to just focus on drawing. And then that just kept on going and going every single day. It kind of like built, it was like a way to build discipline, like to focus on one thing and one thing alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things. And I did that for like a straight year during that time, just constantly drawing every single day, posting on Instagram. Actually, I have the book somewhere, but I filled the whole diary. It was like an old diary that I kept, and I filled it all with like a hand-drawn drawings of like ink portraiture. Huh. Of like famous people like Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Malcolm X, just all these kind of like high profile public figures that kind of like had an impact to the world in a way.
And were you kind of also like every time you were drawing these different, you know, public figures and boxers and whatnot, when you were drawing them, were you also kind of looking through the archives and maybe watching some videos or some, you know, looking at some photos of them? Was it like kind of an educational experience? You were like learning stuff about these people?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was like, because obviously I had more time. So literally I would put their videos, their interviews, just, oh, I would watch hours and hours of their videos whilst I would do the sketching and drawing. So yeah, it was at the same time a form of meditation and a way of kind of educating myself as well. Mm-hmm. So like the way that they're like disciplines, say like Muhammad Ali, the work ethic, the self-belief, just all of that, like it was a way for me to kind of like learn it and then also kind of apply it. That's why each day I was just learning something new about myself and where I could potentially go based on like the stories of these people that I was drawing, because obviously they all had their beginnings and then they all kind of like transcended into their kind of like field and whatnot. So that kind of like also motivated me to keep pushing and pushing and pushing with each public figure that I drew.
And the one thing, going back to talking about how you were studying to be an architect, when I think about like an architect and drafting and drawing, is it fair to say they have more of like a measured approach when they're drawing? And has that approach kind of influenced your drawing now, or do you try to forget everything you learned in architecture school, or is there some stuff that you've learned that you carry with you to all the different projects that you work on today?
No, the funny thing is the whole kind of like architecture side is what kind of helped me do the whole NFT project. And like, cause the workflow that I use is where I kind of like, it was the architecture side of things, like to kind of like have it nice and kind of have everything nicely put in a folder. And then like have these softwares kind of like all linked together so that it just flows nicely once like I finished one drawing, and then it could, from one stage to another, it can move kind of like in a quick manner instead of like all kind of mixed up and whatnot. But yeah, it kind of helped me have a sort of stages, so like a defined stage to kind of like work through in order to kind of like get to the outcome in a way. But then yeah, also like the whole kind of like ink, the art side of it, I like the whole aspect of a simple line could kind of build a whole image. It's sort of an illusion in a way, because most of my drawings are just made out of like literally a stroke of line. And then I do loads of like at least 10,000 of those lines, because I use like the iPad and it records how many strokes that you do for each drawing that I make. And yeah, most of them have 10,000 to like 40,000 lines. And yeah, it's sort of, I like the whole idea of how a line could somehow portray a whole image of someone and that you could recognize it.
Yeah, it's almost like every line has like an intention, or like that's all going towards the singular purpose of the whole drawing. That's cool.
Absolutely.
That's cool that I didn't know that it counts how many strokes you have, but that's technology. Yeah. You gotta love it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
so obviously, like, one of the main things that I've been wanting to chat with is your NFT project, the Gallinacci the Fighter. I listened to a podcast with Ariel Helwani, and he had a couple guests talk about not only NFTs, but like crypto, because a lot of people, I think, are interested in it because they don't really know a whole lot. Can you just talk, before we talk about what your project is, can you talk about your background within NFTs? Do you have what brought you to wanting to make an NFT project?
That's funny that you asked that. Because obviously during the pandemic, I think that was the time when Beeple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he sold that kind of like accumulation of work, like the first 5,000 work, like drawing, like images that he made, and he sold it for like $69 million as an NFT. So then I was like, okay, wow, I've never heard that before. That's like interesting. So then I was like, okay, I have these drawings of these fighters that I've been doing. It was just like an art project to sort of push my drawings that I did on traditionally on the diary that I was doing every single day. I wanted to have a project that would kind of make more detailed drawings, and it'll be, instead of an hour I spend on it, it'll be like 4 hours, 8 hours. So that's when I was like, okay, I could use those drawings that I've been doing as just an art project and turn it into an NFT kind of project in a way. And that's when I kind of looked into Beeple, looked at his work, how he presented his NFTs on OpenSea and whatnot. And that's when I was like, okay, cool. There isn't really a boxing project that kind of visualizes fighters in a similar style. And I was like, okay, I kind of want to build a project that I can do for the rest of my life. But I'm looking at the long run here, because I've been watching like Gary Vee, and he's always pushing for longevity, like doing something that you like and you can do for forever, basically. So I was like, okay, I like boxing, I like art. Combine the two, that's something I could do for decades and decades and decades to come. And I also, it's a way for me to practice my drawing every single time that I produce an artwork. And that's when the whole kind of NFT project was born. I was like, okay, perfect. There's a chance for me to actually make some sort of money from this. Because at the beginning, it was just for me. And as soon as I heard the whole Beeple thing happened, I was like, okay, cool. This is a perfect opportunity for me to start. And I started, didn't really know what I was doing because I was new to the space. Still am. I'm still sort of finding my way. Like, I think, I'm sure it's for the same with everyone, because it's such a very new technology. And yeah, the way I laid out my kind of like NFT, it's inspired by Beeple, the way he presented his work with like the whole label with all this kind of like QR code with a little bit of description. But then I kind of just took my own spin to it by putting like the fighter's record and like a little bit information about them and their kind of like height, reach and whatnot. Just like all these kind of like information that would kind of be very interesting for someone to kind of like, okay, this guy had this many fights. Oh, he came from this place, whatnot. And yeah, my whole kind of like vision for it was just to sort of preserve boxing in the form of digital art on the blockchain. And in a way, also kind of like build just like this whole collection of drawn fighters. Because when you kind of like look through boxing artworks or anything within that space, there isn't a place where you can go and see an artwork from all these fighters. So I kind of want to be the first to do that in a way, because it's for me, it's for the long run. So 10 years from now, I would have probably drawn thousands of fighters by then. So that's just kind of like the whole kind of thought behind it. And yeah, to be honest, I'd love to have a museum that would show these works and for people to come physically to see them, because right now they're originally just digital, so they're just on the screen and whatnot. But yeah, that's probably the grand vision, just to have it as a physical space for people to come in who love the sport of boxing to just learn more about it, because I've already kind of put like all the information for each of these fighters within the NFT. So yeah, that's pretty much the grand vision for it.
I'm thinking also, going back to that whole intention, but you know, every time you're doing a piece or whatnot, you're looking at the fighter or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I imagine like with every art that you are doing, it's also committing it to memory more so than just watching something. You're committing to memory things about that fighter. I'm just thinking about how the brain kind of works, because with me, like, and maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but I used to do some writing, and people say that things don't really exist until you write it on paper. And there's some people, when they're studying or they're trying to learn something, they have to write it down on a piece of paper before they remember it. And I'm thinking like, okay, so making all these different art and projects and NFTs, I imagine that it's helping your memory. It's helping you remember all these great fighters.
Actually, yeah, no, now that you put it that way, it does. Because it's like each stroke that I do, there's a certain maybe word I hear whilst watching a video, and then that kind of just engraves it into my mind with the whole kind of like when I'm drawing and whatnot.
So I'm curious. You have a background also in boxing. Can you just talk a little bit about maybe how you got into actual boxing? Maybe if you competed and that type of thing.
Yeah, so just because growing up with the whole boxing, I was just into it. I think I just have that fighter spirit, like from the get-go, because that's how I got pulled into the sport at a very young age. But no, there's like a local, there's like a police department where I live right now, and they have like a weekend kind of like a program for just young kids to come in and they teach boxing. So I think I must have been 15 or even younger when I kind of like started just to train, go in there like once a week, whatnot, with my friends. And I just kind of got hooked into I think I trained for maybe 3 or so years, just like sparring, and then had pads, heavy bags, and all the running and whatnot. And then I think I stopped for a couple of years just because like life, you know, but I was still always just watching like boxing and stuff. And then I went to uni, and then there was like a boxing society. So I joined. Okay. So I got back to boxing again. And I actually had like, it's like an exhibition match. It wasn't like an amateur thing, because it was like my first kind of like time of like, because it was like a big event, like a university event where you're put against another university to have like an amateur bout. But for me, it was like an exhibition. So I was competing against my own from the person in the same gym as me, because it was just like to show what we had and whatnot. And it was going all good. I was enjoying it. I just loved it, like just the whole ring walk, and then you're there and everyone's just screaming, and then you're there doing the boxing. And then unfortunately my ACL, like it kind of like gave up during the fight. I was just like hopping on my feet as well, but I didn't want to quit. I wanted to keep going. But then, because it was only like three rounds, I think on maybe the last round they just called it off. But I was still up to fight, like I wasn't gonna back down type of thing. But then I was like, oh, okay, that's that's my boxing dreams over. Because then I was like, yeah, something's wrong with my knee. So I went and got it checked. And it was like a torn ACL. So I was like, okay. Yeah. So I was like, so they when I went to get it checked, they were like, oh, you can either like rehab it, or if you're going to continue to compete, you might have to get surgery. But then I was like, boxing isn't, it's not like a thing that I'm going to take up as a career anyway. So I was like, I left it and just kind of like tried to rehab the knee with like exercises and whatnot. So I think that's when I kind of like stopped the whole boxing, like at least the competing in a way. But I still like do the whole kind of like running, hitting the bags from time to time. But yeah, I think if that never happened, like if I didn't bust up my knee, I would definitely be competing in amateurs.
And
because I just enjoyed it.
And I like to make this connection, not because everybody looks at it this way, but I'm thinking that you're an artist. Of course, boxing is a part of a greater stream, martial arts. Do you have any appreciation for not only boxing, but the other martial arts or mixed martial arts? Or
I don't know. I think I'm a very pure boxing. Like I just, because it has a rich history. So doing all that project, I was digging into 100 years ago, Jack Dempsey and those fighters. Like, it's just, I love the whole kind of like, it's very stand up and you just have to rely on your fists to do the talking. And obviously you have the footwork and all the other aspects of it. But I just enjoy just kind of like watching and focusing on one kind of style of fighting. Like, I do watch like MMA from time to time when there's like big fights, but it's always the boxing part of those fights that I get gravitated to. Because I don't know, for me, like the whole kind of like grappling and wrestling isn't really my form of kind of taste in a way. But I do appreciate like the whole art of it. But it's just that for me, I find boxing far more entertaining than the other ones.
Yeah, I was like, I did karate, and then I was really into MMA at the time, and I was watching all the fights, and I have to agree, I was more interested in the stand-up punching, and that was something that was more my forte in karate too. And then I kind of was like, oh, well, there's just this whole world that has this rich history that, you know, I could be a part of. And that's kind of how I got into boxing, was when the McGregor Mayweather fight happened. I was like, oh,
because
McGregor was kind of trying to show the world that, okay, I can beat the boxing, like all this, you know, history and granted he had some success, but my major takeaway from that fight was, okay, there's something to practicing just the discipline, and there is a mastery, and there's so many elements. I mean, Mayweather, like McGregor had said, he had three different game plans. He kind of altered it. You know, he was very strategic, and you know, right from there, I was like, wow, I'm sold. I gotta get into this.
Yeah.
So you obviously have all this realm of or work. And I kind of asked you this via DMs, but I thought it'd be worth talking about again. Usually when a boxer watches tape, they're always thinking to themselves, you know, can I use this technique? Can I use this? You know, oh, this fighter did this back then. And they look at it in that kind of lens. And I imagine when you're an artist now, is there a part of you where you're watching boxing fights and you're like, wow, this moment, this particular fight or this thing is something that I want to explore through my art?
I think it's the fighter's psyche. It's usually like the whole mental aspect of the fighter, because like the whole boxing is great and all, but then it's just like the hard work and the training, the persistence and the whole dedication behind for them to perform on that ring. That's what kind of like I find very interesting, and what I try to pick up from these these fires and apply it to my artworks and whatnot. And actually, the artworks itself is just sort of a way to introduce myself to kind of the world. But the main thing that I want to do is start like a fashion brand.
Okay.
Which I already have. Yeah, it's called just Galanachi. That's okay. The thing. And I am pulling inspiration from all these fires I've kind of already kind of like seen and kind of learned from, and have, and kind of like in a way tell that their story whilst merging it with my story in the form of clothing and whatnot. And it's just kind of like I have to start somewhere, so it's sort of like I started with like screen printing. So I made a design, it's called Greatness. So it had like, I don't have it, I think it's in the laundry, so I wasn't wearing it right now. But yeah, it had like, the design was inspired by Mike Tyson's tattoo, like his the Maui tribe inspired tattoo on his face. And I took that, and on the chest it said Greatness with that kind of style of font. And then at the back it just had like a poem about like the highs and the lows of one's life and what they go through.
And I've seen this on your, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so I kind of like turned it into poetry. So
did you write that poem?
Because I don't know, I just, yeah, no, I did.
Okay.
I also do a bit of writing, like I enjoy writing poems and whatnot. And I have this thing about like the whole greatness, like achieving greatness in your own field or your own kind of like form of greatness in a way. That's why I wrote that kind of like poem to act as like a manifesto in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So like, okay, just from to remind me, like, okay, this is where you want to kind of like go and achieve, and this is like your main goal. And that's why I wrote it, put it on the clothing and shared it with the world. But yeah, that's what I want to kind of pursue alongside the whole arts, is the fashion thing, and kind of pulling inspirations from boxing and putting it into the medium of clothing.
Yeah, scientists have been trying to extend our lives, you know, freeze us so that in the future we can be alive. But what has continued to be is the way of being immortalized by being great, by being a great person. And sometimes the conquerors also get immortalized, unfortunately. But like, yeah. Like there's this idea that, you know, if you really want to be known or remembered, you have to be the greatest. And certainly all these boxers like Jack Dempsey, for example, that you spoke about.
Absolutely.
They're well beyond what their lifetime was, but they still exist in the boxing world, yeah, and exactly. History. Yeah. So
it's the story that lasts. It's definitely the story. And that's why I try to put more forward and incorporate within my works. Because for me, it's because after I'm dead, I'm sure all my artworks will still be around. Like, that's kind of like the legacy that I'll leave behind in a way. So I kind of find that as like the parallel. So like, I look up to these fires, these great fires like Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, and Sugar Ray Robinson, all these great fires that had their story. I mean, some of them, their story, you might need to do a little bit of digging in order to kind of like see like the whole aspect of it. But with me, I kind of want to be able to do the same, but with my artworks and in a visual way, like explain my story in a visual way. And that's why I do what I do with the NFT project, and then the startup of the fashion that I'm trying to get going, and just pull those under one umbrella. So kind of use my own strengths and just push it as far forward as I can.
And the major, I didn't mention this at the beginning, because but the person that actually shone the spotlight onto you was Clarissa Shield. She had mentioned one of your arts, and that's actually how I had got had seen your
Awesome.
profile. And I also had seen that Lad Bible had also recognized you. Can you talk a little bit about when you start
Yeah, they
getting these
reached out to
fighters?
me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, Lad Bible reached out, but they haven't really come back to me about what content they wanted to kind of like repost. But no, actually, Devin Haney reached out to me. He liked the artwork, so I sent him one of my the one that I did of him. I sent George Kambosos one, because he also shared my work and he liked. Well, so I was like, oh, can I send you one? Because he during that time he literally just won most of the belts. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. And he was also the former sparring partner of Manny Pacquiao. So I was like, this is great. And who else? Yeah, no, Mike Tyson's Hot Boxing Podcast, they shared his work when I kind of like put it on my story. Yeah, there's a whole like even Thomas Hearns, they're starting to see it slowly. Even like the upcoming fighters like Brandon Lee and whatnot. Shakur Stevenson actually a couple of days ago he shared my work. But yeah, we're slowly kind of getting recognized and seen by people. And I'm in no rush of like trying to get my followers up or whatnot, because I know at one point it's gonna catch on. And because the what I do is kind of very authentic to me, so I trust in what I do and let my work kind of like do the speaking.
How does it, what does it do to you? Like, I can't imagine when you start seeing the actual fighter, recognizing your art and celebrating it. Like, what goes through your mind? Like hot boxing, Mike Tyson, Shakur Stevenson. I mean, like, can you just talk about it?
Yeah, no, I just find it crazy because we live in a day and age where what I do in my small room can be seen by someone halfway across the world. And I think that's just an amazing kind of thing. Cause literally I'll have the artwork finished, I'll post it. Next thing I know, the person that I drew actually sees my work. So I'm like, I'm just amazed basically. I'm like, wow. We live in a day and age where I could be in another part of the world and still be able to share my artwork and it will be seen by that very person that I'm actually drawing. But just simply tagging them, it just blows my mind, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's, I guess the best analogy, it's like maybe a change, but you know how like everybody, like some artists, they go on like a subway and they start drawing somebody there, and now it's like you can take that drawing of the person on the subway and you put it online, and the person that was in the subway is like, oh, that was me, that's awesome, good work.
I
I
know.
mean, it's crazy
Exactly.
that the people that I don't know, does it make you feel like, this is kind of a deep question, but I've had experiences myself. Sometimes when you go through life, you feel like you see everybody on television, or you watch that, and you feel like you can't really just touch the person. You can't see the person. But when these types of things started happening, where you're like, wow, these are real people. They're seeing this. Like, I have an impact. I can. Did you have that kind of experience?
Yeah, no, you kind of start to realize the power that we have access to, like the internet itself. Like you can reach so many people. Like with your podcast, I'm sure it's the same kind of thought process behind it. It's just that wide reach, being able to reach these people that vibe with the way you kind of think or what message you're trying to put across, you just sort of pull these people into you and create the small community. And I just, because as humans, we're into like tribes. That's why like all these sports having different teams and representing which team we support and by wearing like their jerseys or whatnot. It's just this is whole kind of finding our own tribe, our own people. But then obviously with the internet, it's just a wider reach. And you could even have like a mixing two things, like yeah, podcasts and boxing. Like you'll find people by just posting on the internet that like those two things or interested in those two things, and it will kind of like gravitate towards them. And that's just like the same thing with that I do, like art and boxing. And they might like it may be you'll bring people from the boxing side or bring people from the art side, but then maybe in a normal physical world they might not even be in the same room as each other because it's two different things. But because of what I do, they can exist in the one space in a way with what I post on the internet, which is very amazing in a way.
And I was wondering, are you able to provide the listeners with maybe something to look forward to with the Warriors of Boxing, the other project that you're...
Because
I saw something about how it's a combination of One Piece and boxing.
Yes, like I started this other project. I've actually drawn about 100 or so fighter boxers from the Hall of Fame list. And it's the same thing. I'm like learning, like it's just so much deep history of boxing. And it was actually, I'm into anime. So I'm like, I caught up to the whole episodes for One Piece, because for One Piece, that's like 1,000 or so episodes. It's crazy.
Somebody told me if you watch one episode a day, it takes 3 years or something like that.
No, I started watching it back maybe almost 2 years ago, and I just finally caught up. I think 800 episodes in, I saw this. It was like a way of drawing. It was they had like a technique of drawing, and I really, really liked it. So I was like, I could be inspired by that and create another project in that style, using that style of artwork of drawing, and create a more kind of like purely for boxing. Because with the Gallinacci, the fighter, it's sort of, I could end up opening it up to like MMA fighters, or to even martial artists, Bruce Lee and whatnot. So there's that thought of expanding it just outside of boxing. Because I've had people DM me, oh, you should do people from the MMA. And I was like, but I kind of want this to be the boxing thing. But that's when I kind of thought, I was like, but then these people are still fighters, because it's in the name, the fighter. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll start another project which is just dedicated to purely boxing. And that's where kind of the Warriors of Boxing came in. And then the whole art style of it inspired by the One Piece anime. So I did that, started drawing the first 100 fighters. There's like about 300 or so in the actual list on the website. And it's the very same concept, just of the Gallinacci, the fighter, just kind of preserving the history in a visual format. Because yeah, there's just not enough art in terms of like sports or boxing in the boxing space that does what I'm doing. So yeah, it's just nice to have more of what I'm doing so that people can enjoy it. And once I kind of like release it.
I like how you were describing that, because yeah, if whenever people talk about all the times about finding like a gap in the market, you know, something that, you know, you see and you also at the same time excel, you know, at art and then art for boxing. So that's really awesome that you're able to find that space to, you know, set shop. And
absolutely.
I wanted to talk about some of your other mediums, because I noticed you have a YouTube channel. You've posted a lot of interesting videos. You actually had some daily videos. You had done some, maybe some more, would you say be like experimental art or?
Very experimental. It's when it's the whole, the Beeple wave. So the whole kind of like using digital, because when I kind of like read more about his works, he was using 3D programs to kind of like sort of, in a way, collage these 3D assets and create a piece. So I was kind of like interested in his process. So I was like, let me give it a go. And then I kind of just diverted into my own kind of lane of exploration, a more abstract kind of form of art, which I like to do also, because with what I do, it's very kind of like one dimensional, like it's one drawing style. So, but then at the back, I like to do my exploration, try different styles and whatnot, just to kind of like explore and then kind of feed that curiosity that I have when it comes to the whole art kind of aspect of things. But yeah, no, I did that. That was like every single day type of thing, because I finished like that the drawing kind of project for like a year, and then I wanted to continue a new project, which was more catered to more abstract digital work, similar to what Beeple was doing. But yeah, I kind of slowed down with all of that and focused more on the things that I was actually working on, like the Gallinacci, the fighter, and what else, the Warriors of Boxing.
Yeah, and yeah, I even saw.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that it's quite difficult to get the followings up on social media when it comes to like the art stuff type of thing, but yeah.
Yeah, and I like I personally have always been into the art like YouTube elements, and like you know, there's a lot of cool phenomenon that exists in the art scene, like Inktober, and how people like in October use just ink, you know, every day and things. And there's a lot, it's a really beautiful scene. Sketchbook tours. I see that you've even done some sketchbook tours, which kind of reminds me like, okay, this guy's an artist, because that's what a lot of artists are doing right now. And it's really cool to learn the process of art. And I also was looking at, again, we're talking about different mediums, because we have talked a lot about NFTs and what you've been doing there, but I do want to give you, you know, some recognition just as a different medium artist. I see some really cool stuff that you're doing with like 3D modeling shoes, but then being able to put them on each other's feet. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because when I saw that, I was like, this is the future.
Yeah, no, because obviously with the whole metaverse thing, I was like, I need to somehow at least have an avenue to kind of put myself through there in a way. So I'm always thinking longevity of things, because obviously things change. So you need to be able to kind of like adapt in a way. And I've always been interested in the tech side of everything, really. And being able to merge art and tech sounds like, okay, with the whole AR, augmented reality, and using whatever I have around me. So literally the iPhone, the iPad, and the five-year-old laptop that I have to kind of do this kind of AR augmented reality of a shoe that I actually kind of like customized. It's just crazy, because you can create something in with your hands that is tangible, and then scan it, and then further alter it in the digital space, and then kind of like go back in the loop and use a augmented reality to kind of like interact with it by putting it back on my feet through AR. I just kind of like that whole, I don't know how you even explain it, just the change of what do you call it, process, but then circling back to applying it in reality in a way through AR. But no, yeah, it was just me dabbling in the space and then seeing what can be done and whatnot. Because literally the way I do those things, I don't think that's what the programs I use, what would normal people would use them for in a way. So it's very kind of experimental, very experimental.
I also want to give recognition to, you have a really, really nice artwork of Muhammad Ali. You know, he's standing with victorious and he's got the angel wings and the crown.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought that, and thank I saw you. An animated version of it and I was like, this is so beautiful and such a great homage. And I know you've done homages to other fighters and public figures too. Within color, like a color painting style.
Yes.
So
I do. Go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. I wasn't saying anything important.
Oh yeah. No, I was saying that, it all kind of like stemmed from traditional art. Like I used to paint in oil paint, but when I got an iPad, I like the whole idea of you can still create a painting, but without the mess. And I just like that feature of it. But I would like to paint again soon in like a large canvas and whatnot, just to get back into kind of just grabbing a brush and painting.
And we're getting close to time, and I want to direct everyone that's listening that's interested. Of course, first of all, if you're interested in some of the NFT that Gallinacci has, it's on OpenSea. There's Gallinacci the Fighter, correct? And
yes, that's right.
Every artwork has 10 regular editions, and then you can get for 0.1 Ethereum, you can get the special edition.
0.1 is the standard. 0.5 is the special, okay. Which is, it comes with a digital frame.
There we go. So yeah, we have a picture of Carissa's Shields and it's moving. It's got a QR code and okay. And then it goes that closer. And then I believe it will also show her record.
Oh, this one, because there's like a problem with updating the once you kind of like mint the thing, it doesn't allow you to update the fight records for active fighters. Okay. So I decided not to put their records for the smart active fighters, but just have the description
of smart
who
smart
they are for now.
But yeah, because I was wondering that active. I was like, is he going to make a new edition every year with an updated, or you need to get the iOS 11.0 for you?
Yeah, no, I didn't want to kind of do the whole of like doing a fighter twice, because I kind of just wanted to do a fighter once and then have that. But I'm guessing the record isn't really that much of a big deal, because for these ones, I intend to create a website in sometime in the future to actually have that be the one that updates, okay, so that people can still kind of like scroll through just to view the artwork and the whole boxing thing in one place.
Yeah, I'm thinking too, like it might be hard when there's a concept boxing retirement or fighting retirement, because some people will retire for like a couple months or a couple years and then they come back. So it'd be like interesting if you're like, you know, holding your finger on the button on whether or not to give them a record or not. Tyson Fury apparently is going to retire after Dillian Whyte. That's what he says. And then he might go and take a plunge into other. So it's because he wants to be the second heavyweight champ to retire undefeated after Rocky Marciano.
Oh yeah.
So and looking like he could definitely do that. So we have that and anybody that's listening and not watching, if you want to see these artworks and then see the NFT, go to G the Fighter on Instagram. You'll see everything, all the details, the OpenSea link, etc. And you were mentioning that today that you also have a clothing brand. Is there a way that people can buy your greatness t-shirts, or is this something for the future?
Right now I do have stock, but I just have to kind of like get the website up and running again, because it's right now in the UK it's still quite cold, and the greatness t-shirts, so I didn't want to sell them just yet, but yeah. In a couple of months time, when it starts to get warmer, they can find it at Galanachi if they just search that on Instagram.
Okay.
Which is GALANACCI.
Yes, and I will include all of those links within the video or podcast description. But I want to say, really, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate you coming on, you know, kind of sharing your story, sharing your passion. There's a lot of passion that goes into art, and it's really great to see kind of a snapshot of, you know, everything that goes within it and kind of the daily practice that you've committed yourself to getting better, improving, and again, making an impact on the world. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Matthew. It's my pleasure coming to your podcast. This is actually like maybe my third time of being in a podcast, and I love it. It's a great time to kind of talk and unwrap all these kind of like past experiences and the kind of like hard work that I've put into my craft. So thank you for the opportunity.
And yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing you know, your future Warriors of Boxing, to see your clothing brand get launched. You know, when those things come out, I'll be sure to share it to all the listeners so they can stay on track, because I think what you're doing for the sport is really you know, giving a lot of these legends of the sport, you know, a second life. You're giving them, you know, the exposure that they deserve, because in the past, I mean, they went through so much to get to where they were. So thank you.
Thank you, Matthew, man.
And I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. I know that today might have been a lot of discussion about art, but we also have to realize that boxing in and of itself is part of a greater scheme of things known as martial arts. And so really, as boxers, or if anybody's listening that's really into boxing, there is an art to it. You know, the sweet science, as boxing is often referred to, there is an art and a mastery to the skill. And of course, it's really important to have artists who give recognition to, you know, the legends of the sports, old as well as current, so that they continue to live on in our thoughts. So yeah, as always, everybody, if you enjoyed this podcast, I strongly recommend that you leave this podcast a rating on your preferred platform. Of course, subscribe on your preferred platform. That way, when a new episode comes out, you won't miss it. Of course, if you don't like just audio and you like the video, this is also available on YouTube. So make sure to also comment, like, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And until next time, hope everybody has a good day. Stay safe as always, and catch you on the flip side.